This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Consider these words found in a renowned Christian magazine. For too long, we have called on unbelievers to invite Jesus into their life. But Jesus doesn't want to be in your life. Your life is a wreck. Well, stay tuned as we talk about this and what it means and how we can abide in Jesus Christ.
How can a person experience positive change in his or her life? Jesus has an answer for that in today's message. Stay with us. Let's pray. Almighty God, you are powerful, you are good, you are kind and wise. And so we turn to you this day to worship you and remember how great you are. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Dear friends, we live better connected. I am absolutely convinced that's a true statement. For you see, you and I were hardwired to be connected. First of all, we are created to be connected to God. We are created for a relationship with this God who made us. And without that connection, something is lacking. And so we read statements in the Old Testament out of the book of Psalms such as this: as a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. In the days of the early church, Saint Augustine wrote, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in every person that only God can fill." Many of you perhaps can identify with these statements when you've been disconnected with God, when you've gone your own way. You find that soon you feel spiritually empty, spiritually dead. That's because you were created for a connection with God. We were also created to live connected to one another. Life is better connected. God said in the book of Genesis, after he created Adam, "It is not good for the man to be alone." And so he gave him Eve. God knew. We live better connected. King Solomon, in his wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes, wrote, "Two are better than one. Two can withstand the onslaught of any attack. Two can keep each other warm." There are all kinds of advantages to being connected. I'm reminded of a letter I came across written to an insurance company, which made me laugh. It reads as follows: "Dear Sir, I am writing in response to your request for more information concerning block number 11 on the insurance form, which asks for cause of injuries, wherein I put trying to do the job alone. You said you needed more information, so I trust the following will be sufficient. You see, I am a bricklayer by trade, and on the date of the injuries, I was working alone, laying brick around the top of a four-story building, when I realized that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to put them into a barrel and lower them by a pulley which was fastened to the top of the building. I secured the end of the rope at a ground level and went up to the top of the building and loaded the bricks into the barrel and swung the barrel out with the bricks in it. I then went down and untied the rope, holding securely to ensure the slow descent of the barrel. As you will note, on block number 6 of this insurance form, I weigh 145 pounds. Due to my shock at being jerked off the ground so swiftly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Between the second and third floors, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations on my upper body. Regaining my presence of mind again, I held tightly to the rope and proceeded rapidly up the side of the building, not stopping until my right hand was jammed in the pulley. This accounts for the broken limb. Despite the pain, I retained my presence of mind and held tightly to the rope. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed about 50 pounds. I again refer you to block number 6 and my weight. As you would guess, I began a rapid descent. In the vicinity of the second floor, I met the barrel coming up. This explains the injuries to my legs and lower body. Slowed only slightly, I continued my descent, landing on the pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and internal injuries. I am sorry to report, however, that at this point I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. And as you can imagine, the empty barrel crashed down on me. This accounts for my head injuries. I trust this answers your concerns. Please know that I am finished trying to do the job alone. We were not created to do the job alone. We live better connected. In my life, I've discovered that there is one vital connection that God has given me that allows me to even enjoy these first two connections in my life. And we read about this connection, the words of Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 1, where he says to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." There you have it from Jesus himself, the Son of God. Live better connected to me. I am the true vine that gives a person life with God. I am the true vine that gives a person a life that is wonderful and adventurous and beyond compare. He is the true vine. There are so many other vines out there, I suppose we can connect our lives to, but there's but one true vine. At Christian Crusaders, this is our core conviction. Jesus is the life-giving connection for each and every person. He's the one who can change an individual's life. For instance, he can wipe away the guilt and help us to let go of the past. He points us to the cross as we consider the things of old that have been burdening us. And he says, "Look at that cross. I've taken away your sins. I've paid for them. It's all been taken care of. You are forgiven, a child of God." He takes away our fear that sometimes can overcome us and makes us people of hopeful confidence as we look to the future. He reminds us when it comes to our mortality, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and I'll take you to myself." Not only does he give us a new outlook on the past and on the future, but also this Jesus, the life-giving connection, has the power to bring about change in our character and our personality. He says to us, as he talks to the disciples, "You will bear fruit, much fruit." I don't know about you, but if you were to ask someone in your life, perhaps your spouse, someone close to you, "What are the quirks that you see in me?" they would probably be able to list a number of things. In fact, if you were to ask your spouse, you might need to go in for a little counseling if you left it at that. I remember a wife saying to her husband one time, "The problem with you is you're so temperamental. 90% temper and 10% mental." Well, Jesus came into this world to do something about that in us. He says, if you'll but stay connected to me, you'll bear fruit. And what he's talking about is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Wouldn't you like to be married to someone with all of those qualities? Or wouldn't you like to be someone with all of those qualities in your relationships? How enriching they would be, wouldn't they? Well, Jesus says, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. It may not be an overnight sensation as we wish, but little by little, he chips away at us through the working of his Holy Spirit, and he conforms us to his image so that we begin to look and in our behavior and in our attitudes and in our thinking more and more like Jesus. I read somewhere, I think it was by Rick Warren, a pastor out in California, God's number one purpose in your life is to make you like Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. I heard someone say one time, you know, God loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He's got better ideas for your life. And Jesus says, if you want those kinds of changes in your life, then you need to abide in me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He calls us to cling to him. This statement out of an article in Christianity Today says, for too long, we've called unbelievers to invite Jesus into your life. Jesus doesn't want to be in your life. Your life's a wreck. Jesus calls you into his life. And his life isn't boring or purposeless or static. It's wild and exhilarating and unpredictable. So what does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ? It means that we absorb him into our lives by dwelling in his word, the Bible, by living in those gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by recognizing that he's with us and calling upon him and enjoying the pleasure of his company. It's in that word, you see, that Jesus corrects and forgives and teaches and instructs and strengthens us and enlightens us to live the life that God had intended for us in the first place. We live better connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. Now, what I've also discovered along the way is this. As Christ followers, if you're in that relationship with Jesus already, we live better connected to each other. The best way to keep that life-changing connection with Christ flowing is being connected with other brothers and sisters in the faith, gathering around that Word of God, perhaps in a small group, taking the time to read it together and ask questions of it together, to maybe go to a Christian bookstore and buy a Bible study book through a certain book of the Bible and inviting someone or someones to take that pilgrimage with you and begin to meet regularly around the Word of God, asking questions of it, studying it, wondering how it might apply to your daily life. You'd be amazed at what a difference that can make in your life and in your growth in Christ Jesus. In my congregation, we have hundreds of people that have taken that step to join small groups. I get stories from them all the time about what a blessing it is to their life change in Christ. This one fellow named Tim tells me that his wife asked him to join a small group Bible study. He said, I'm not saying I went kicking and screaming. I went to try it out with intentions of never agreeing to go back. I thought I'd let her kick and scream to try and get me back. Well, she never had to. That was over 10 years ago. And in that time, my small group has changed several times. We once were as big as 20 members, meeting here at the church on Wednesday nights while our teens were in confirmation. Now my group's a little smaller. My Bible study friends and I are there for each other. We pray in times of need and in times of prosperity. They are truly some of my closest friends. And every year we challenge each other to learn more about Jesus, about the Bible, and about each other. I tell people, don't be afraid if you think you don't know enough about the Bible. 10 years later, my group is still growing. We don't judge or criticize. We simply seek to grow together. It's been fun. It's been life-changing. It's been eye-opening. Another friend of mine writes, my faith has grown tremendously through my involvement in my small group. I've learned how much God loves me and that He forgives my imperfections and that He wants me to reach out to others. As a result, recently I took a risk and shared my faith with a good friend who doesn't know Jesus. Another friend of mine in the church said, I have learned through small groups that God doesn't want us to go it alone in life. He wants to bless us with supportive friends who can keep us accountable and enhance our journey toward eternity with Him. Maybe you are moving in the right direction with Jesus on your highway to the destination of heaven. I encourage you to try the carpool lane through a small group. It's in the carpool lane you find friends to help watch for bad weather, help redirect you to get you on the right road, and if you get lost along the way, they make the journey so much more fun and exciting and meaningful. Again and again, people have been discovering life is lived better connected. Do you have someone in your life that perhaps you could sit down with the Word of God, hold each other accountable, and spend some time reading through one of the Gospels together, meeting together, praying for one another? That can be a life-giving connection for your life in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. And so my appeal this day to you, the listener, is to choose to live better connected. For someone listening today, it might be to, for the first time, surrender your life to Christ's care, to say, I need your life, Jesus, in me. Do that right now. I encourage you. For others of you that are already made clean by His word, as Jesus said, this is a call to stay committed to being connected with Him in His holy word. Find a fellow traveler or two and start a discussion group, working together in God's Word. Get to church and hear that Word proclaimed. Be a person that is connected to Christ, and you will discover for yourself life is better connected. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we all need a closer walk with You. And so if there's someone listening today who's been trying to go it alone, by the power of Your Spirit, nudge them to get connected to Jesus Christ. And for those of us who know Him already, keep us in Your Word. Help us to find others that we can connect to and grow together in our faith as we study Your Word together. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Receive the benediction. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will encourage you to dwell in the Word of God and make life-changing connections that will lead you on a closer walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift, which is sometimes to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, please send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and their gifts. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders now broadcasts over 27 radio stations in 12 states, shortwave to Europe, and on the Internet, where you can find additional resources and past sermons. Please visit us anytime at ChristianCrusaders.org. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. We are grateful you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.